Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report for another special afternoon edition. It is Monday, the 4th of April, and I'm joined by Alexa and amazing comedian Brody Snook. Hi!
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. How's it? You're in Melbourne now, right?
I certainly am.
And you've been doing the whole run. You're doing the whole month in Melbourne?
Doing the whole month run. Looking forward to it. I opened last night. Ooh. And, we're off and racing.
How did it go?
It went. most importantly, it went. It was very opening nighty, if you get my drift, I believe. A lot of comics are in the same boat with a few teething problems and things like that. Aww. So it's like the start of any glorious festival. There's a few hiccups and things like that, which only make it all the more fun, to be honest. So, yeah.
We'll find out all about it after this break.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
Okay, so your new show is called Waylaid. What does that mean?
I actually have a joke in the opening of the show about what it means because my agents wanted me to change the title of the show thinking that people were going to be going, what does this word mean? Waylaid, it means to be ambushed or unexpectedly accosted. Mm. And I think a lot of us, if not all of us, have been waylaid in some way, shape or form in the last 2 years. Yeah. So it's about my own experience with that and how it can possibly be a good thing.
Mm. Is it just COVID waylaying or are there multiple ways that you've been waylaid?
I suppose in my life, of course, there are. But I think, it's the ripple effect of the pandemic, basically what went from the start of 2020, what was meant to be, what it ended up looking like. And, lots of hilarity along the way, of course.
So you were in England at the time that COVID started. That sounds rough. Tell me about that. What was...
So I moved over to the UK at the age of 18 on a one-way ticket to live an exceptional life, which I did do. I spent 11 years there and loved it. And fled home in a panic at the start of 2020 and thought that maybe I would be hanging out in my hometown in regional WA for a couple of weeks till it all blew over and into my third year of being back in Australia. So, waylaid definitely the word.
Do you find, are there any noticeable differences between the comedy scene in England than the comedy scene in Australia to you? Like, is there anything that's like sort of strikes you as different or is it just sort of more of the same but it's more competitive over there?
Do you mean audience-wise or within the scene?
Oh, whatever you like. Like, I mean, audience would be a great way to answer it, but I'm happy to hear about the scene too. I love goss.
Yeah. So, audience-wise, I feel like, well, specifically in London, it's such a melting pot of every, sort of amazing art form that you could possibly want any night of the week, or certainly pre-pandemic. And I feel like the comedy scene it's excellent. It's very concentrated. It is a real sort of grapple to get on good shows and start getting paid work and all that sort of stuff because, parts of the open mic scene, the quality is excellent, Look, it's a really good place to earn your stripes because once you start getting that paid work and those club spots and things like that, you kind of know that you've earned it.
Yeah.
Audience-wise, it's sort of, they're very spoiled for choice in a place like the UK where there's just, amazing shows on every night of the week.
Mm. Yeah.
So you do have to prove yourself to those audiences because they're so used to having – you know, massive names drop into small clubs and that sort of thing. So, you know, once you get up there, there is a bit of a sense of, oh, I really need to get you guys on side because, you know, your palate is
very refined. Yeah.
Well, it is exactly.
If they're that spoiled for comedy, how do they let you know if they're not on your side? Like,
just sort of, you know, your classic cold, steely death stares.
Oh,
you know, I think that they're pretty universal, to be honest. If the folded arms, the body language, you know, that sort of thing. It seems a little more severe when it's English for some reason, but
it's a cold death stare, but with an accent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's funny. Straight down the nose.
I think that like the pandemic has kind of helped in that way because when everybody had to be masked in indoor venues, yes, it was kind of nice because if somebody wasn't enjoying the show, you could kind of just pretend that they were smiling. Like,
exactly.
Like, how do I know? Exactly. You might just be cold, you know, your arms are crossed because you've got a breeze.
I'm always up for lying to myself, so that works. Yeah.
Are they wearing masks at your current shows in Melbourne?
They were and they weren't last night, so a bit of both. I'm still, you know, a little confused on the old rules as well because I've been stuck in WA, then I've been in Sydney the last couple of weeks for work, and now I'm in Melbourne sort of going, can we have one blanket rule? What are we doing, everyone?
Oh, God.
So, it is very confusing. Although WA, was that where you first came back to when you first came back from the pandemic?
Yeah, so I came back on one of the last repatriation flights from London to Perth in April 2020.
Wow.
And then did my 2 weeks of hotel quarantine in Perth and slowly went insane.
Yes.
And I actually got to the point where I was tallying the days in red lipstick on the mirror in the bathroom, just like.
Very RuPaul's Drag Race.
Slash prisony.
Yeah. I'll add that too.
So, yeah, and then I got out of that and then went home to my small regional hometown in WA and started unpacking my things in my childhood bedroom.
Classic.
Which I definitely touch on heavily in the show. So if anyone's ever had to do that, that's an experience that I cover.
What's the comedy scene like back at the parents' house? Do they laugh?
You know, just disapproving stares, really. A little bit like London.
More of the same.
Oh, yeah, good. Exactly.
You should get them to put
but
on masks.
These ones come with lectures, financial lectures.
Oh, God.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. More news, less often.
You've obviously obviously pre-pandemic, but you've toured heaps. Like you've been around in a lot of different scenes, a lot of different places. Do you have like a crazy sort of comedy tour story? Like I feel like all that time overseas, something wild must have happened.
Yeah, lots of little wild things happen. You know, what can I say without incriminating myself as well?
You can just say everybody's name should just be redacted and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, lots of Joe Bloggers have I spent time with. It's been awesome. I think probably my favorite place to tour was Switzerland.
Wow.
I loved that. Yeah, I loved that. It was because I'd never been to Switzerland before. Mm. And I think a lot of Aussie comics, you know, we don't – unless we live abroad, we don't really get the chance to actually tour in non-English speaking countries.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. And I toured Norway as well, which was also fantastic. And I just love being in different places. I love being in new places. You know, this is the whole reason I moved to the UK as soon as I turned 18, basically. Mm. So being close to Europe was absolutely awesome. And to get those opportunities was fab. I miss it. I can't wait to hopefully have more.
What are some of the challenges of performing in front of a non-English speaking? Well, I mean, I assume they all understand, but
yeah.
Is there a noticeable difference for you?
Yeah, sort of, you know, you learn pretty fast after opening night what references fly over people's heads and what's worth keeping in the set. So just sort of small things, you know, maybe little colloquialisms or kind of, you know, product references were probably a big thing. Yeah. Not that I was doing a lot of product comedy, but, you know, there was one or two, you know, things that you would reference in the set and then kind of, you know, talk to the promoter afterwards and go, okay, what can I sub that out for? Because that died. just little things like that, but nothing too detrimental. Fortunately, like a lot of the audience was built of, you know, expats, so they'd be Americans, Canadians, you know, that sort of stuff. They tend to come out to the English-speaking comedy. So it was a real plethora of an audience, which was great.
Were there any, like, specific when you have to sub in, like, let's say a specific Swiss thing to replace an Australian thing, are there any – oh, why can't I say this sentence properly?
Do you mean like what was? Is there an
example of like, you know, the Swiss version of Nikki Webster? Like you had to find.
I mean, look, there probably was, but it clearly hasn't stayed with me beyond those shows. It was very much a let me write that on my hand for, you know, 36 hours and then leave the country.
Oh God! Not only are you a touring live stand-up comedian, you've also been in a lot of writers' rooms. Mm. And I find that quite interesting because, I mean, I've done a couple of writers' rooms and I find it a very different space to be writing comedy, like having to write sometimes for other people or sort of writing for screen versus writing for stage, quite a challenge. Like I find it really hard to switch into those two different sort of mindsets. But how did you find like the writing scene as well as the comedic, like the performance scene? Like do you prefer one or the other?
Look, I think, well, there's an old cliche. They say you're either a writer or a performer, and if that's true, I would very much identify myself as being a writer. I'm just a big old nerd. Like I love a project. I love being given a brief. Yeah. I love just being sent an email going, cool, so here's the monologue, here's you know, the sketch idea, spend 6 hours writing, you know, it, around this and get back to us. And I go tunnel vision. I love that sort of stuff. So I think like there's also a bit of a detachment where you can lend yourself to those projects in such a way that you can't do the same thing with your own solo material. Yeah. You know, you're crafting a show about your experiences, about your, you know, maybe your traumas or, you know, those sort of things, you know, your little idiosyncrasies that you're, you know, are within you. Whereas when someone goes, hey, we're doing a sketch about, you know, X, Y, Z, you get to just kind of go, okay, X, Y, Z project and I'll write everything funny I can possibly think of. So, I mean, I love both because there's nothing quite like writing a solo show, both in good and bad ways. But I love writing for telly and I wrote a little bit for radio as well, like radio sketches. They're always a little harder because, you know, I started writing television sketches and writing for screen and then all of a sudden I've gone, oh, you can't see this.
Yeah.
I need to really lend myself to, you know, the audio description or, you know, those sort of things here. So, you know, that was definitely a little more challenging. I really enjoyed it. But, screen is a lot easier because you go, oh, yeah, you guys will figure this out in the production.
You can establish a visual gag pretty quickly. But
exactly.
Yeah, radio would be true.
For anyone listening now, if you can't tell, Brody's actually been making amazing jokes. She's been like juggling and she's doing backflips this entire time. Another thing that's lost in the podcast.
It just didn't translate. Yeah, it's a shame.
But look, did I just say I wasn't a performer? I was lying.
I got to say, you're still juggling six knives. It's incredible.
Why?
Well, Brody, you're touring not only Melbourne for the whole month, but you're also doing Sydney Comedy Festival from the 28th of April to the 1st of May and Perth Comedy Festival from the 11th to the 15th of May.
Sure am.
Are you excited for the Perth shows? I'm keen to hear the hometown show.
Yeah. Oh, look, I always love performing in Perth, not least because, like, my godparents and all my old teachers come. I actually performed the show in a bit of a preview, kind of warm-up sense for Perth Fringe in February.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really good place to build a show. You know, the audiences are pretty generous, you know, and look, I suppose I have that kind of hometown advantage as well a little bit. So even though my technical hometown is 4 hours south of Perth.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's good, and I'm looking forward to taking it back in May in its polished form as well after having hit the road on the East Coast. Yeah. And then I actually get on a plane and go back to the UK for the first time.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, best of luck with all of the touring and also getting on a plane and going overseas.
Yeah, exactly. Overseas, imagine it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Brody. It's been
thanks
awesome
for having me, gang.
But I'm in a serious relationship now, and by serious, I mean it's not fun anymore. Some of you see yourselves in that one. It's a very grown-up relationship. We garden on the weekends, and there's a roster for whose turn it is to go on top. I make the roster. I'm not on it. Going on top during sex is sneaky exercise. It is cardio while trying not to fart on someone's scrotum. A joke which always gets a beautifully knowing laugh from the straight women in the room. I think we should start a support group.
If you want to keep up with Brody's stuff, you can find her at brodysnook.co.uk. Our gear is from Rode Microphones. And what network are we a part of, Alexa?
Acast.
They had one job. The Acast Creator Network.
Oh, yeah.
Catch you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.